Episode 679. Ow! That stings! Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, tech, stuff. We're just having a whole bunch of fun over here. Two old guys talking about nerdy stuff.
Well, at least one of us is old. I'll let you figure out which one.
That wouldn't be me. Dibs.
Dibs.
I'm Chuck Tomasi calling dibs. And the old guy is Craig Stepp. How are you, old guy?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Get off my internet.
Yeah. Get off my IP.
Don't say IP to an old man.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm doing pretty good, man.
Okay, it's going to be potty humor for the next hour.
Oh, yeah. Don't get us started.
No, don't get us. Speaking of started, last week was Amazon Prime Days. Did you order anything for Prime Days?
No, usually I only got stuff that either I already own or I started to say mildly interested, but maybe a little less than mild. I'm going, it's not worth. Yeah.
So
I didn't.
There was nothing on my wish list that made it onto the sale list. And oftentimes they tell you that, like a week before they made an offer and said, hey, you know, this thing is marked down $50. I went, okay, that's significant enough for me not to wait for Prime Day. And then I ordered it. Last year I got, what was it? 3 micro SD cards that were on sale, 256 gig. So I was like,
stuff like that.
But
I don't, there
was nothing I looked through and said, I'm seriously considering this or I need this. There were a few wants and I'm like, I want my money more than I want these things right now.
So right.
I said, no, I didn't order anything either.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to remember, you know, I get like, I don't think anything, I was actually just wondering what was on my wish list. Cause, I put some things on it, but
yeah,
I don't think anything I got alerted. I don't remember seeing anything.
No, I didn't. You know, I didn't get anything alerted specifically that was on my wish list, but a week or two before, I forgot what it was. They said, hey, this thing you've been waiting for, that's, you know, $225 is now $50 off. I went, oh, good enough for me. It's on my wish list. I've been waiting for it anyway. So,
So, you know, storage like SD cards and stuff like that, I might be tempted to jump on, but I don't know.
It's one of those things that, a hard drive or an SD card, it's like, you know, if it goes on sale, I'd consider it because, you know, you're always going to need more storage.
Yeah.
But if it's TV sticks
for $17. I don't know. Have you ever used a Fire TV stick? I've never used one.
No.
I got a Roku's and I've used Chromecast, but
I've got the Apple TVs and I've got the smart TVs and I don't know what a Fire stick would gain me on any of that.
Well, it has that same functionality, but I'm just saying I hadn't used any of them.
All right. Anyway. That's it for the news. Thanks for joining
us.
Let's get into some of that listener feedback stuff. While the music plays, we open the links.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
Infinite number of monkeys typing right there. That's where we come up with Technorama. And our question of the week last time, I didn't say last week because we had a week off. Last time was which 25-plus-year-old video game has aged the best? And we got a number of responses. Thank you very much to everybody. Just glancing at some of these. John Miller Jr. says, Mega Man X, Super Metroid, and The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Is there a joke in there about Link? I'm thinking there's a play on word. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I think those are all good ones, especially Zelda. I know a lot of people love Zelda. I haven't played a whole lot, but actually I played it on the Wii, the one that was on the Wii.
Oh, my gosh.
I still got the Wii around here.
We no point. No pun intended. We gave our Wii to Julian Will. along with Rock Band 2, I think it was.
Yeah.
As far as I know, do you see any question, any comments you'd like to comment on?
Oh, yeah, sure. So Jack Mangan said Scorched Earth.
Don't know.
Sounds like his kind of game.
Yeah,
it sounds like his kind of game, doesn't it?
Gary Lindro says Age of Empires. I still play it.
And our buddy Steve London said Settlers 1, 2, and 3, and Monkey Island. And in 10 years, I guess Minecraft will be like 25, and I played it ever since Alpha. Wow. I know Harrison did. He played, well, he hasn't messed with it so much anymore, but you know what was funny about Minecraft was the hackability early on before Microsoft, well, I guess it still does today, but at his age, when he was playing with it, which was about 9 years ago, he was actually doing some things I was surprised he was doing. Like he was reading how people were telling him how to hack this and how to add these ads, these mods. And he was doing those things. And I was like, he didn't even ask. He was just kind of doing it. I was very, very impressed.
How to break into a bank with Minecraft.
Well, even that he added a mod, that gives it some other physics. And he had a nuclear power station in Minecraft. And I asked him, how does he know how it works? He goes, yeah. And he starts talking about this as in the steam and all that. I'm like, wow. He really got something out of it. So
would you like to play a game, Harrison?
Yeah. How about Minecraft?
Huh. No, global thermonuclear war.
Yeah.
How about Minecraft?
Yeah. Damn, it's insisting on Minecraft. All right, fine.
How about a nice game of tic-tac-toe?
Right.
Oh, one of our cruise buddies, Lucas Anderson, says, Chrono Trigger for sure.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that.
I have not even heard of that game, but I am not one of the people you look to for gaming information. A couple of comments over on my site. Lone Guys Night says Super Mario Brothers. And Patreon member Brian Brown says, I have a couple. Curse of Monkey Island. Score. Final Fantasy VI. Is that 25 years old already? Come on.
It might be. Let's see.
Oh, I'm feeling old. Or yeah. FF3 in the U.S., okay, that I could believe if it's, you know, one of these version things in a different country. Fallout, Final Fantasy VII, Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Wow, that's two for that game. And yeah, there are a lot of good ones out there for sure.
Okay, Final Fantasy came out in 94. Six, excuse me.
Interestingly enough, Jonathan Strickland was just had a tech stuff on preserving games. Mm-hmm. So if you don't listen to the Tech there's Stuff podcast, there's a lot of content that comes at you like three or four times a week, but there's some good stuff in there too. Most of it is news updates on the Elon Musk at this point.
Yeah. You know, I love Jonathan and I like his podcasting prowess, but I did have to put him on his own playlist in my play. I was like, okay, I'm scrolling through my list. I'm like, oh, I have the podcast here. Tech Stuff.
And you don't need to listen to the news from 3 weeks ago. Cause you know,
nah. But no, he does a good job.
He does.
Now, there is a lot of great places you can go find old games, like the Good Old Games website.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can still buy games there, and they'll run on your computers, your modern computers. And then, of course, the Internet Archive. There's some great stuff out there. Ooh. Now, I'll tell you, I'll say 25 and over. I know I mentioned video games in the question.
Yep.
But I still, every once in a while, I'll go mess around with Infocom games. I love those text adventures.
Let's see. I asked Mr. Strickland. He has no plans to attend Dragon Con this year, but he'll let me know if that changes. And I said, okay, can I tempt you with some karaoke? Because he mentioned karaoke on one of his podcasts. And I said, oh, got to reach out. Let him know.
Yeah. One attendee at a time. You're going to get them all.
Hey, it's not going to need much because we are officially on the schedule. We should probably let people know what we're up to at Dragon Con now that there is a schedule.
Them.
So Craig and I are once again going to Dragon Con. I know many of our listeners are as well. We look forward to seeing you again there as always. Looking at you, Amy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Looking at you, Gary. There's a few people that you hear on our regular list that appear at Dragon Con. And we are going to have an official karaoke party Saturday night at 10 p.m. Not sure if it's Galleria 6 or 7. Show up at the same place we were in last year if you were there for the what did we call that? A pop-up karaoke party? Commando?
Pretty much. No,
what do you call that?
Well, it was after hours. It was after hours, and it was a unused room.
Yeah. And I said, hey, can we have an unused room? And the track director was kind enough to let us use that. Turned out to be a big success just from word of mouth and a couple of tweets. Then we said, we're going to do this for reals this time. So that's Saturday. We have the topic is Trek panel in the Trek track. I have these on my calendar. I should probably get better at looking at them ahead of time. And we have a Technorama comedy forecast and friends also. So same locations everything's going to be. The Trek track will be right across from Galleria 6 in the Hilton. The Technorama and comedy forecast and friends, that is just a long title, is going to be in Galleria 6 most likely. So look for them on the app. Looking forward to seeing you. Parade, usual Saturday morning parade. We're going to be there. I also had the idea this year, Craig. I said, this is the year I'm going to keep the Farnsworth costume on because I think it would be hysterical to see Farnsworth singing karaoke Saturday night. Then I realized how late we would be going, and it takes an hour to take that makeup off. And I said, no.
I like that theory, but yeah.
So yeah, it would have been fun. And then this morning I was driving home from church. I went, holy crap, we're going to be singing karaoke for a late, and it takes an hour. No, I'd be up to like 3 a.m. scrubbing.
That part, yes, for sure. I was going to say, it would take you about 30, 45 minutes to put it on.
It takes about an hour to put it on and an hour to take it off. And the parade is about an hour.
Take off that bald application and then go to bed without showering and your pillow sticks to your head because of the glue.
Sticks to the head. It's all brown from the makeup. That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, we should wrap that segment up. We'll have another question for you at the end of the show.
Another letter from our listener, Dave.
Thank you, monkeys. How about some history?
Whoops. All right.
All right, let's do that. On this day in history for July 20th, 2022, and if that date rings a bell, you're going to know why really quick. It's the 201st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar, and there are 164 days remaining in 2022. It was on this date in 1738 that the Canadian explorer Pierre Gaultier de Veronnet et de la Vérendrye, wow, that's a name that I can't pronounce. Well, yeah. He reached the western shore of Lake Michigan. Good thing they called it Lake Michigan instead of Lake Pierre Gaultier de Veronnet, blah, 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 blah.
Hey, you know where Lake Michigan's at, right?
Yes.
It was also on this date in 1900 that an airship designed and constructed by Count Ferdinand of Zeppelin, Germany, made its first flight near Frederikshavn.
Led Zeppelin, man.
Frederikshavn. Yeah, Led Zeppelin, man.
On July 20th, 1807, was awarded the patent by Napoleon for the parafroid. These are supposed to go to Craig. I don't know what I'm doing with them. The world's first internal combustion engine. Ladies and gentlemen, the patent for the first internal combustion engine was in 1807. It successfully powered a boat upstream on the River Saint in France.
Sweet. Actually, you didn't see me cut and paste that one from the bullet point ahead before.
Oh, Craig's shifting things around. He did, because it said these are normally chronological.
Yeah. I got the difficult one here. July 20th, 1903, the Ford Motor Company shipped its first automobile.
I think that's the first time he's gamed the system. 679 shows, and he finally figures out how to rearrange them so I get the French names.
Cut and paste.
All right, stop it now. I'm trying to read. It was on this date in 1940 that California opens its first freeway, and no traffic moved across it for decades. The Arroyo Seco Parkway.
So it took them almost 40 years between making the car and making the highway.
Well, freeway.
A freeway, whatever. Semantics. All right, so it was also 62 years ago today that the Polaris missile was successfully launched from a submarine, the USS George Washington, for the first time.
I cannot tell
a lie. It was made out of wooden teeth.
Here's the one that you probably recognize for July 20th. Apollo 11 Their crew successfully made the first man landing on the moon in the Sea of Tranquility. Americans Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first humans to walk on the moon 6.5 hours later. It took them 6.5 hours to get their suit on. Hey, wait. Buzz, can you zip me up?
Wait, what about that? We made it to the moon? Wow.
It's all a big conspiracy.
It was also on this date in 1976 that the American Viking 1 lander successfully landed on Mars. Even though it's called Viking.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Why also, they call it the Mars 1 lander?
Also today in 1997, the fully restored USS Constitution, a.k.a. Old Ironsides, it celebrated its 200th birthday by setting sail for the first time in 116 years.
And 1 year ago today...
Got to work on that American algorithm.
Yeah, the American businessman Jeff Bezos flew to space aboard the New Shepard NS-16, operated by his private space flight company, Blue Origin.
Happy birthday goes out on this date too. English biologist, anatomist, and paleontologist Richard Owen, born on this date in 1804.
And Gregor Mendel, the Austro-German monk, geneticist and botanist, was born 200 years ago today.
English explorer Clemens Markham was born on this date in 1830.
And German mathematician and academic Otto Blumenthal was born 146 years ago today.
Born July 20th, 1882, Austrian mathematician and philosopher Olga Hahn Neurath.
Yeah, I think you're speaking Klingon there, right? Baron Wright, Scottish broadcaster, co-founded BBC, John Wright, was born on this date in 1889.
Wow. The guy who co-founded the BBC.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good one. Tadeusz Rickstein, the Polish-Swiss chemist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born on the same date in 1897.
And also born July 20th, 1919, New Zealand mountaineer and explorer Edmund Hillary.
You know what he was the first person to do, right?
Climb a mountain.
Everest. Reach the summit of Everest, right. Actually, technically, his Sherpa was the first one.
Well,
shame on me.
The Sherpa stops about 2 feet. Okay, go ahead.
It's up to you, Captain. A shame on me for not realizing he was from New Zealand until I was writing these notes. American businessman and co-founder of Little Caesars, Mike Ilitch was born 93 years ago today.
American singer-songwriter Kim Carnes is also born on this date in 1945.
She's got Betty Davis eyes. Also turning 75 is Mexican-American singer-songwriter and guitarist Carlos Santana.
And last but not least, Mexican-American screenwriter and producer Robert Orsi was born 49
years ago. Oh, the shows and movies he was responsible for. Thank you.
He is 49. Yeah, well, born 49 years ago today. That's right.
Listener birthdays this week include John Miller Jr. What? On the 23rd? Really? He's out there listening. Happy birthday, buddy. The 23rd is also...
I think he's got like 8 birthdays on a birthday calendar.
Like every other week, it's his birthday. I like celebrating. Yeah. Send me another birthday card. Dave Perillo on the 23rd also. And Aaron Heath from Adelaide, Australia is on the 26th. That's the way it was on this day in history for July 20th, 2022. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, Craig's going to put a link on the screen for all our viewers, but I will tell you, if you're listening, what was that grunt for?
A lot of work here. I got to click and type. And
John says we got it right. Okay, good. For the listeners, you can go over to chuckchat.com/birthday and get your name on the birthday calendar. No typing required.
Yeah. If you have a birthday.
If you still want to count them, go ahead and put something down like, I'm turning 25. And we'll be here 15 years from now mocking you.
Yeah, George, here you go. George Jetson complains, pushing buttons, so tiring.
First world problems.
That's right.
Where are we? We're going into the news. I need a random news.
Good news, anyone?
There we are. Okay, we have an article from johnchow.com. This is not anything to do with what you feed your John. Okay, not like puppy chow. This is johnchow.com.
Yeah.
He writes to an article about the Aptera EV electric vehicle that has a 1,000-mile range and is powered by the sun and may, keyword being may, never need charging because it's got solar panels on the hood, on the roof, and on the dashboard. And yeah, they really went overboard trying to make this vehicle as aerodynamic as possible. They said something like, when you get up to speed, 60% of your energy is just pushing air out of the way. I went, holy doodles, put some kind of spoiler on the front of my car and see what happens. So it looks very George Jetson-ish. You know what?
Yes.
We can do a screen share and let people see what this looks like. That might help our viewers and also encourage other people to view us. Screen share that window. There we go. There's a picture of it.
There you go. Yeah.
And some other articles that you may or may not be interested in.
It is very reminiscent of a, like a wing of a plane.
Very teardrop shaped. They're saying that the you can drive something like 40 miles a day without plugging it in. And it will charge just from the sun. I'm sure you might get a little extra charge living in Phoenix because it's always sunny. And you know, most people drive an average of 35 miles a day, commuting to the grocery store, work, whatever, and that should suffice. And I'm thinking, hey, that's not a bad deal. Now, the number for 1,000 comes up when you get the batteries, and there are a couple of add-ons. The price for this car is also very attractive when you compare it to like the Teslas, which, you know, still you have to plug those in. There's no solar capability. Yeah. So the prices start at $25,900. That's $2,500, $900 US, and go all the way up to $50,000, depending on which battery package. And there's an option to get a drive motor on the, it's a three-wheel vehicle. You familiar with the Can-Am motorcycles that have the two wheels in front and one in the back?
Yep.
This is like the car version of that. So two wheels in front, one in the back. My it's not available yet. They were supposed to start shipping in 2022, but reservation holders are now reporting delivery dates that have been pushed back to 23 or 24.
Mm.
Now, you can get yourself on the early adopters list for just $100, but it's not refundable. This is like a Kickstarter project almost, but it's been in the works since, what did they say, 2006 or something? They've been at it for quite some time.
Yeah, I forget when they started.
It comes in white and black, and I think there's some other colors. I can't tell you exactly the options.
The black one looks pretty sharp, to be honest with you.
I don't really care for that dull color black. It looks like, I don't know. I don't care for dull paints. I'm a glossy kind of guy.
You don't like the matte color.
I wouldn't get the matte finish. I wouldn't get a black vehicle in Phoenix anyway.
No, probably not.
So,
but anyway, I thought it looks interesting, but set aside price on it, would you drive something like this around?
You mean from an aesthetic standpoint?
Yeah. Would you jump in this and get a store?
Yes, I would. At first, I thought it looked a little goofy, but I'm thinking, you know, it's 2022. We got goofy looking cars all over the place. You know, look at the Tesla truck. That thing looks like an escapee from Logan's Run 1974. Yeah,
I thought it was from Logan's Run.
I thought so too. This is somewhat reminiscent of the old GM EV1, the electric vehicle they had in the early 90s. Kind of, in a strange way, but with the three-wheel design, very much more aerodynamic. That was like one of their first key priorities, along with safety, is what they mentioned in the video. I was curious the wheels on the front stick out. Okay, let's see. There's a good picture of like camping in your vehicle.
Yeah.
And even
it does have a hatchback. I saw a picture somewhere of the hatchback. So you can have that tent piece on there. That's pretty cool.
It's the weight that'll kill the mileage. Right, which is why they wanted to keep the battery weight down. They said only, 800 kilograms or something that keep the battery weight down as compared to other vehicles. So weight, wind resistance, and
the 1,000-mile is for the upper package. So
yes,
you'll be spending a little bit more for it. It's not the high end package. It's like midway. Then you get that $1,000.
I think they said the 250 miles out of the base package. So for $25,900, let me see if we can zoom in on this. For $2,500, it's not the greatest picture because it's a picture of a picture. You can see there, 250 miles for the $25,900. If you up the battery a little bit, 25 to 400 miles, you get 29.8. 600 miles. I mean, 400 miles, I could go to San Diego from here. And that would get me one way.
I think between 400 would be great.
Yeah, 400 to 600. I could do a lot with that. 1,000, you could get across the country, stop overnight. I mean, it's a 3-day, 2.5-day trip back to Wisconsin or Michigan.
Yeah, it also depends how fast the solar cells do charge the battery. You could probably drive a little longer.
And you could always plug it in. You can always plug it in.
No, this one doesn't have a plug-in option.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Does it?
Yes. They said it's got a 110 plug-in. Yep.
Oh, wait. You mentioned the Tesla not having another option other than
Tesla. Tesla is only plug-in. This has plug-in and solar.
Right.
So I was curious about those outboard front wheels, though. That made me nervous from, like, because they stick out just a little bit beyond the width of the body.
Well, what was that? Not the Prowler. The Prowler.
Yeah, the Prowler.
Prowler had the.
That was a concept vehicle, though. Nobody ever drove those. I suppose you could call this a concept as well. The thing that worried me was, what is the turning radius of this thing? Because those pods, the outboard wheel pods, seem like they would greatly impact your turning radius. I did a little research, and the turning radius on this is about 19.7 feet. And I said, well, what's my car? It's they say between, 18 and 19.2. I don't know how you get a variable turning radius on a car, but it's about the same as my Honda Accord right now. So not that bad. I would consider one of these in the future if they do tend to materialize. I don't know if these prices we've listed are just for the early adopters or if this is a big old complete scam like we've talked about in the past with that cardboard car from the 70s.
I think, this looks like if you put a bunch of these on the road, it would look like some sci-fi movie from the 80s.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Pretty cool. My point is that I think that they need to think outside the box to make electric cars that are that have range and are usable. So you're going to have to get used to some strange designs.
They said they did. We're thinking outside the box. Yeah. They said we wanted to base this on, what body style should we base this on? They said we can't because nothing is aerodynamic enough. So we're going to start from ground zero. And
this looks like a little plane without the wings,
or just the wing of a plane. I'm driving around the wing of a plane.
Well, it looks like a cockpit of the plane with the little wheels, but no wings on it. That's what I'm getting at. But it looks cool. The little video makes it look awesome. Yeah, they're driving around in it.
Yep. So a lot of fun. All right, next article. Apparently, Amazon is going to soon be making drone deliveries. Deliveries by drone.
Yeah.
In Texas, and they said that they're going to be contacting customers in College Station, Texas. And I said, hey, I believe one of my teammates or former teammates, he just recently transferred, is in College Station. So I asked him, hey, aren't you in College Station? This might be interesting for you. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates the population of that city is 120,000 as of last July. So while it's not the biggest city around, it seems like a decent size for an initial rollout of Prime Air. That research is being conducted by Texas A&M. And Amazon's new facility presents a tremendous opportunity for College Station to be the forefront of the development of drone delivery technology, Carl Mooney, the mayor of College Station, said. We look forward to partnering with Amazon and Texas A&M and are confident that Amazon will be a productive, conscientious, and accountable participant in our community.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's kind of interesting. I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Getting closer. Yeah.
Imagine going, oh, my Amazon Prime delivery is coming. You get a text. We're overhead.
Look up.
This tracking information means nothing to me.
Yeah, normally you get the information that says your package is three stops away. Find out where it is on a map. Yeah. Your package is 10 feet above you. Find out where it is on a map.
I think it's in the woods over in my house.
Yeah. Their drones become like the paper boys. They just chuck it in the bushes.
Yeah. Right. I can't find my order. Oh, it took a picture. It's sitting in the bush.
Here's a picture. It's on the roof.
Right. That's right.
Would you like to also buy a ladder? Oh, that's on the roof, too.
I'll bring one back in an hour.
And then it drops out on your roof.
Yeah.
Which is handy when it drops everything on the roof except the Santa and the reindeer's display.
Right.
Okay. I'm out of control again.
I know. Settle down, Beavis. Hey, by the way, the Plymouth Prowler.
Yes.
It was manufactured and marketed between 97 and 2002.
And how many did they sell?
Oh, I don't know. I have to go look to that. But just said that you thought it was
That was a concept.
You thought it was a concept.
No, Viper. The Viper was a concept only car.
Yeah, well, that one was kind of raced. They did some racing with that. I think that one was even out. Because I had a video game called Viper, you know, and it was.
No, the Viper did sell. Anyway, moving on. We're not a car cast.
Oh, the Dodge Viper. Production from 95 to 2002.
Yeah, that one did run. I just look at the picture and I'm going, yeah, I've seen those. Next story.
You're obviously not a car
guy. On this show, the topic is not cars.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, there you go, Clinton. We have a new line.
Yeah.
So our next news story, would you like to introduce this one?
Yes, and I like this because it involves Indiana Jones. He's the Indiana Jones of the world of art, the art world, excuse me. So this relic was actually stolen. It was a gold, looks like a little box house kind of thing.
It does. It looks like a little gold church almost.
But the twist is it apparently contains the blood of Christ for reals. And it was stolen and they got the word out that they really wanted this back. Anyway, the thieves said that contacted them and wanted to return it.
Yeah, I don't want it. The problem is if you steal a relic like that, A, it's just bad juju. People get nervous because nobody wants to buy it. And B, you can't sell it unless you melted it down. And, this is just. So they said, all right, we're spooked. We're giving it back. Who can we give it back to? In fact, I think they even said, we're probably going to destroy it. And then they said, no, don't destroy it. I know who you can give it back to. This Dutch arch. The Dutch art sleuth, Arthur Brand, or Brand, I guess if he's Dutch, said, you can drop it off at my house. And he like took some time off from work and was home every day. And then like at 10:30 p.m., the doorbell rings. He goes to the window and there's nobody there, but there's a package on his doorstep. And
Amazon Prime Air again.
Yeah. Amazon. I bought Jesus' blood off Amazon. That's more of an eBay thing.
Yeah, maybe.
First I got his Instagram post in the toast.
I was gonna say, look, I got the Mother Mary toast add-on.
And the Jesus grilled cheese. And now I got the
What's funny is he has a picture of other liturgical dishes that were also recovered. And one of them, I kept thinking, Indiana Jones, there's the cup of Christ right in the back.
Yeah, that's not a carp. This is not the cup of the son of a carpenter.
Yeah.
He chose poorly.
That's right. But so this is interesting. I actually wanted to go find some more out about this guy, why they call him the Indiana Jones of the world of art.
Well, you see, back in Jesus' time, if you finished 10 boxes of Cap'n Crunch and you sent in the box tops, you got like one of these commemorative sheep plates.
And a whip and a hat. All right. Sweet.
So, was that really Technorama news or did we just make fun?
Yes.
Okay, you have a Hacks and Strange story in here, but you don't have a link.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'll tell you what it is real quick.
Okay, we'll play the music real quick. Which tells you it's time for Hacks and Strange Stories with Craig.
I'll go find the link later, but the Octaglove, I got to look at this story. The Octaglove, these researchers had,
Does it have anything to do with GitHub?
No, they developed this this glove that can pick up things underwater using sucker-like attachments that you would see on an octopus. And it just looked funny because of the, since we're picking on stuff tonight, because the glove had these huge suckers on there, and they could just they were picking up like balls and cups and stuff.
So
like,
you could be like the salt monster from the Man Trap and leave circles on everybody's face.
That's right.
It looks like somebody hot glued some plastic tabs on a glove.
Yeah. There you go. Here's a link right there. The Octoglove. I'll put the link in here so you can look at it real quick while we're doing this live. There you go.
Oh, John Miller Jr. That is really bad. Oh, that wasn't John. That was Clinton. That makes it worse.
Clinton, yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah.
It sucks. I gotta blame credit where credit is blamed.
So you can see the glove, and they're showing how they picked up.
I was looking at a different
cars, logo. A paper card, metal car, a dog bowl, or is it a steel bowl?
That's
a
good highly dog bowl useful.
Yeah,
capturing your prey. All right, the Octoglove.
Anyway, I just thought it looked interesting.
Let's go on to the chat room. We've got a number of people out here tonight. We mentioned Clinton Alvord. John Miller Jr., sorry for insulting you with Clinton's bad humor.
Oh my gosh.
We're swinging the mace pretty far today.
If
you want to be hanging out with us and be part of this crazy insanity and throw in your comments, you can do so Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time because we live
stream this. Like the banner says.
Yep. Sunday, YouTube and Facebook. It's just maybe where you found it anyway. So we're not very good at SEO, so you just look for Technorama Podcast, and that's it. You can join us there, and we will be on as soon as we can at 9:30. Spraying yourself with a mace today. It's a good idea. Let's go on to Remember When. All right, Craig found us this interesting story about looking back at the USSR computer history. Now both Craig and I were at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California 15 years ago.
Yes, oh my God.
And it's almost literally right across the highway from our current corporate offices, so there's no excuse why we couldn't go back there again. Probably
it's
on
like
the company's
10 minutes
dock.
Away, yeah. Literally.
Well, this is an interesting article about why the Soviet Union had really lost the computer race going back into the 1940s. They had smart people. They had the resources. What was it that caused this chasm and an ever-growing chasm well into the 1980s and 90s? It was largely based upon some political decisions. When the ENIAC first came out, I forgot who it was, but the, Soviet premier went, just a fad. This is propaganda. And they didn't really buy into it. And then from then on, they were kind of...
Nobody will need 2K, a memory.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they had this internal hackathon to build a computer out of vacuum tubes and whatnot. And they were each the size of, two modern-day homes. One of them did, 1 million instructions per second, and the other did 2 million instructions per second, but the faster one needed some components that the other team had, and they wouldn't release them, so they'd use some inferior products, which caused it to break down and whatnot, so the slower team kind of won for a while. There was a lot of interesting stories in here.
It's because the other team went home for the night, and they went over and grabbed the components and put it in there.
There's stories about the British selling them their information on the British actually had an IBM 360. The 360 was IBM's big seller through the 60s and 70s. And I used a 360, 370 machine. I learned assembly language, in fact, in college.
Wow.
And the British, what was it, ITL? ICL, a UK company, they had basically a clone. And they said, we'll sell it to the Russians.
Yeah,
or the Soviets. So it was it was an interesting. There's a video in here. I encourage you to watch the video because it's really
it's not IBM, it's LBM. Oh, we should have read it closer.
It's CCCPBM. just being children of the Cold War, this was a fascinating article about the decisions that were made and what it led to, and you know, how you can be a victim of this today if you don't stay true to the trends.
And there's really a cool video to go along with it too.
Yeah, that's what I said. Watch the video, because the copy above the video is sort of a recap of a lot of that stuff, but they don't go into a lot of the details that the video does. And in this case, the movie's better than the book.
Yeah, right.
Okay, an article I stuck in at the last minute is from CNN. Said,
before, I was going to say, I don't remember this.
Yeah, before our homes got smart, 7 vintage home gadgets that hark back to a bygone era. And there's a picture of a lady with a big hairdryer. Remember the hairdryers you used to put over your head? This one's more inflatable. My mom had like the hard shell version of this. I remember her sitting under the hairdryer with the curlers in her hair. That was a thing. You know, that olive green hood. And you could never talk to her because the thing was so dang loud. What? Yeah. Sometimes you see them on old shows at the beauty salon.
I don't think it was for her hair. It was to keep the kids from bothering her.
When you had 9 kids, this was a sanctuary.
Yeah. This was your noise cancellation headphones back in the day.
Well, this guy, Dutch designer Jaro Gielen, his basement is a 1,000 square foot space that's been converted to a vault for one of the world's largest collections of small household appliances. From the 60s to the 90s, he doesn't do, vacuum cleaners and microwaves, but he's got a whole bunch of other things. Currently, 1,370 other things, covering product categories, all kinds of product categories, and there are 7 of them in here. One is the Leti Braun Luftkissen, the HLH1. That's, you know what? We need pictures for this one, too. This is just too good to let go.
Yeah, it's too good.
Because share the screen again with the share. Come on, share this one. Screen 2. All right, let me get you back up to the hairdryer at the top of the article. Whoop, there she is. Yep, that's definitely what you want on your honeymoon night.
I've seen those kind of things, though.
The other one is the Bosch Kaffeemühle K12. This is a coffee grinder. You can kind of
Kaffeemühle.
No, mill. like grinding mill.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
And you look at the design. Now, I thought it was interesting in here. There is a reference to Johnny Ive. Actually, let's see if I can find it in here.
Really?
Yeah, he was inspired by some of these people. You know, and we all know Johnny Ive as the industrial designer from, there he is. He says, this is in line with one of the main design principles promulgated in the late 1970s by Dieter Rams, the influential designer whose work at Braun was often praised by Apple's former chief design officer, Johnny Ive. Good design, Rams said, meant making products that were useful, understandable, long-lasting, and environmentally friendly. So even though a lot of these are built out of plastic, they were built to last. You know, I don't know that Johnny Ive would have built a coffee grinder like that, but it's nice to know. The Philips Lady Shave HP 2111. Now, I find it fascinating that they silkscreened the company name and that little design pattern on there, but it says made in Austria is part of the housing. It's like molded plastic lettering.
Yeah, it's molded in there. Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Wow. And this was, you know, this is long before we started seeing portable shavers like that. The SEB Cafetiere Filtre, I hope I massacred that properly, is an automatic drip coffee machine. Now, what makes this one interesting, aside from its orange coloring, is that it was one of the first to have an automatic drip detection system. Let's see, what did it say? It said the first device with a drip stop mechanism. That's what it was.
Yeah, where you could take the pot out and do like a sneak a cup of coffee and put it back.
Yeah, that didn't even exist on those bun industrial ones that you had in the office that people just left burning all day. The Kenwood Chaffee de Lure, this beater system that is octagonal shaped. I thought the design on this one was interesting too. Because it can be taken out as a handheld or put in its little cradle as more of a standard, you know, countertop mixer.
That's pretty cool.
The Philips Box 2 HR 2010, and Box 2 is pretty much describes the whole mixer.
It looks like a box.
It's a pretty boxy design.
Hey, I love the curly power cord. Looks like an old phone cord.
Which always get that reverse coil in them halfway through that you can never untangle.
In the middle or on the end, it's kind of, they kind of stretch out towards the end.
And
they
never, you can never get those. It's like trying to like recoagulate a slinky once it's gotten tangled.
Maybe if you recoil it and then use the next product, you might be able to.
Recoiled anyway. The Braun 550, this wonderful hair dryer. Now, hair dryers.
So you coil the power cord on a dowel, and then you use this to heat it up. Boom.
The hair dryers in the 70s were much smaller than the ones in the 80s. Remember those big power guns that you saw? This is on our way there, but not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Gestalten. All right. That's what we had for some of the fun retro devices we had in the 60s, 70s, and...
Yeah. And that, Johnny, is our... showcase.
How much would you bid on all of this? Don't answer now, because we're going to let the patrons bid on it. We got patrons to thank, because the patrons are the ones that make this show available for you. We're cutting into our pass me the remote time, but I want to make this quick. Thank you to Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, who reached out to me and said, hey, we should get together sometime, because he's also not far from our corporate headquarters.
Oh, really?
Brian Brown, Chris Martinez, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis. Thank you, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, John Noble. Thank you, Jorge Schrauen, who I just sent off a postcard. Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Matt Baum, Mike Wills, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshy. Thank you, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, Steve London, Tim Cook. And one more, Crazy Joe Adventures has joined the family.
Well, that music was perfectly lined up for that.
I was listening. I did that on purpose. It's called paying attention to your own background music. That occupational hazard finally came in handy once in a while. Patrons are the heroes of the show. Thank you. Thank you. And you could do what Joe did and head over to patreon.com. Link. Come on, Craig. Banner. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. And for as little as a dollar a show, you can support this and continue. We've got domain registration coming up in about 3 weeks. Oh my gosh, it's coming up fast. Some other expenses that are ganging up on us in the second half. We're able to take care of that. Thank you to you. And we will be enabled to do more.
Yeah. As lawyers' fees, people come. Car fees, consumer fees. Fees.
Thank you, everybody who participates in our Patreon program. Again, patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. If you're already a member, hey, do what some people have done. Upgrade! It's only another dollar. Okay, that's enough salesmanship for this. Okay, abort, abort. And I believe that gets us to... Go ahead with your first one.
That's me playing the harp, by the way. So I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once with my son the other night.
Yes.
And that was a fun movie. It was a lot better than I thought. So, or let me back up. I heard it was great, but I just didn't pick up on it until recently. So we rented it, and it's about this. It's like almost like these people figure out how to tap into the memories and experiences of themselves and other multiverses in the multiverse. And so they can tap in them and use their skills and experiences on their own for themselves. And they're trying to stop who is, I guess, ultimately the lady's daughter who knows how to tap into this. And she's been, she can stay in it all the time and just grab from all of herselves from all the multiverse all the time. Anyway, they're trying to stop her. And then there's another number of things. And you got the IRS is checking in on them because they have this laundromat. And in the laundromat is where they live. And they're about to lose it all.
The IRS lives in the laundromat?
No, the IRS is after them because of some tax issues.
Oh, okay.
So So yeah, it was a whole thing with it. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. And them switching between the multiverse, they did such a great job with it. Like cameras switching around, and then they would be looking at the same character with different clothes on and a whole different setup. And there was even a montage at the end where I forget her name. She got, it was Michelle Yeoh. She got to where she was used. She could operate do everything anywhere all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see they went through a montage of, I think Harrison said like 200 clothes, wardrobe changes for that little montage. It was like really fast. And it was not CG. It was all practical. So, but it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. And, Short Round, what's his name?
The actor.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Kwan, mm-hmm. Excuse me. He was also in there and okay. He was fantastic in it. He was great. Everybody was great. Him and Michelle Yeoh worked great together. So anyway, I can say it was a lot of fun. So go check it out.
And both Craig and I have now seen Thor, Love and Thunder, which no spoilers. Although I will admit, Grantis and I saw this Friday night when it opened. We saw it at a theater in Hawaii on Maui. And the elevator actually spoiled it for me.
What?
It was a talking elevator. You know, you get to the third floor and it says floor three, right? Well, we got down the elevator and I thought it said Thor one. I went, oh, the elevator just spoiled the movie. It said floor one.
Ha ha.
Okay. Anyway, that was a lame joke. So yeah, the elevator spoiled it. Thor one. As if you couldn't figure out a Marvel movie by this point. What are your thoughts on the movie?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was colorful, visually. It was like I'm walking through a candy store. It was fantastic as far as that. So I think the actors were great in their parts. Of course, Chris Hemsworth is, I think he embodies Thor. Oh man, it's a bad name night.
You're talking about
Gore.
Who
played Gore?
The antagonist?
Yeah, who played Gore?
I don't remember the actor's name, but move on. Yeah, Gore. I thought he did a really good job.
Gore. Christian Bale. Oh my God, I just saw
it. Yes, yes.
Christian Bale did a great job. Actually, I think he was a little underused, to be honest with you. I thought he was fantastic. But I loved it. Harrison also loved it. We had a great time watching it. There was a lot of laughs, a lot of great stuff.
There were some good laughing points, as you know, any Thor movie will get. It can get a little over corny sometimes.
A little bit.
There was one like, when we retrieve the children, we will have a great feast. Not on the children.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were dark times.
We
will not be doing this again.
Yeah.
So I mean, there were some fun cuts on their own behalf. There were a couple in there that felt a little gratuitous.
Even
there's Natalie Bao, Bowen. the god of dumplings. Okay.
Oh yeah, when they did the little montage of all the gods
when they were in the hall of the gods. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of Easter eggs in there if you're a comic fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Zeus was great. I thought
Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe is
Russell Crowe nailed it. Yeah, he nailed that. It was great. I think they even said he did his scenes twice. You know, right one after another.
Yeah.
To try and get that Greek voice down right, to make sure he had it right.
It was a fun movie. It felt like a filler movie though. It felt like here we are leading up to something again. I was a little disappointed that the marvelous Thor was not around as much. It was like, there she is, and she's gone. So again, not ruining it for anybody or what's happening who hasn't seen the movie, but I thought that was a little short-lived. It would have been nice to have that character reappear in a few more movies, but no. Okay, well.
Oh, also, I didn't realize this when I was watching the film. There's a little girl actor in the film. Again, I'm not giving anything away. That was Chris Hemsworth's daughter.
The one who plays.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was okay. That was his actual daughter that played that part.
There were a lot of Hemsworths on the credits. I noticed that too.
I don't know if that was his brother Luke. You know, they, you know, in Ragnarok, they kind of did that fake play.
Yes.
You know, about the story of Loki. Well, they did something similar.
They
to
did
this.
Something similar here too. Yeah.
And this it was also the, Luke this was, his brother.
Was it Matt Damon? Who was playing? Yeah. Yeah. One of his finer acting roles.
Yeah. It was Matt Damon and Luke Hemsworth was in there in the play.
I gotcha.
So, yeah.
But there was, okay, that explains it. Because they're like, what is this? A tribute to mom and dad, brother, sister? Who are these other people that I didn't know about? Okay.
That's right. So, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I wouldn't rate this.
It was a little corny at times, but.
Not one of my highest rated MCU movies. And I think as we go through more of these, yeah, I think you're excited because it's a new movie and you just saw it, but it just felt a little filler to me. Like, what did we get out of this? And what is?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But I tell you what, I tell you one thing is I like Taika Waititi. I think he's an artist, and I think he really is very creative. And I love seeing the stuff he's put together. That Ragnarok being one, What We Do in the Shadows, Our Flag Means Death on HBO. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. I mean, he is fantastic. So, yeah, I'll watch anything he puts together. Jojo Rabbit.
I haven't seen that yet. Heard good things about it.
Yeah.
The question of the week, were we swapping that out or are we going ahead with that one?
Let's go ahead.
Okay.
No, stick with it.
All right. Craig and I had a discussion earlier. I thought we were going with something else, but we're going with plan A. There is no plan B, C, or D this time.
That's
question
right.
of the week is, what is the saddest on-screen death of all time? You think about that. We'll have it on social media next Saturday on the 23rd of July, unless, of course, you're hours and hours ahead of us in Australia. It may or may not be the 24th when we release that question. So
I'll tell you, I got one for you.
What's up?
Let's see the discussion a little bit. And I said on screen, so it could be TV or
yep.
movie or whatever. It was the one, which is funny because it was on Discovery. It was Culber when he got killed. On the ship. That I was like, no! I was yelling at the screen. That sucked.
That was more of an angry death than a sad death.
Well, sort of. I mean, I knew what he meant to. to Stamets. And I was like,
yeah,
you know, anyway, I just kind of got involved in that for some reason. I was like, oh my God.
Well, obviously it's sadder when you're invested in the character and you have to have good writing and good acting and you have to have the character there for a while to get invested in that character.
Well, and you know what? The reason I say I was trying to figure out why I was invested in their relationship. And it's not because I don't like Stamets. Annoys me a little bit.
At first he was annoying. He got better.
Yeah, at first he's changed a little bit now, but at first he was annoying. He was like a know-it-all. Oh no, I don't know.
He was very cocky. You know. Yeah.
And so why I was invested in their relationship, at least I was like, I don't know, but I like Culber. And when that happened, I was like, no, you gotta be kidding me. You know, I was, I wanted to flip the TV stand over. Anyway.
Wilson Cruz was a lot of fun on this last cruise. I got to tell you that much. He was in 2020, he had some back problems, so he wasn't exactly his usual flamboyant self. But this time when they did the introductions and he came down the stairs onto that little stage area, he was doing high kicks and everything. He said, I'm so happy to be here because I can do this. You know, he bends backwards.
There you go.
On this show.
The topic is
no, it's not.
Oh, here you go. Optimus Prime.
That was the saddest death?
Yeah. The 1986 Transformers movie. Yeah. Oh. Old Yeller?
Bambi. Old Yeller. Bambi's mom.
That's right.
There's probably a few Disney deaths in there.
I'm sure Cybok is high on Clinton's list.
Wow. Hitting below the belt, buddy.
There's Spock and Cybok. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't even get so much as an I shall and always forever shall be your friend. He just got, share your pain with me. Bzap, boom.
Shockery, share your pain with me.
We are not talking about that movie anymore. We're moving on. It's the end of the show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to play the music and tell you once again, if you want to get in touch with us, put that info on the screen. 707-530-CHAT. I'm working on a jingle for this. 707-530-2428. Call us before it's too late. 0800-999. I did that gag already years ago.
Yeah.
Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you or read from you or whatever. You can find us on the social interwebs in the usual places. Just search for Technorama Podcast. You'll find us. Don't forget, you can also be a Patreon member for as little as a dollar a show. We'd love to hear from you and
it's a deal.
Support our craziness almost every week. We're coming up on show 700 soon, and we will see you at Dragon Con this Labor Day weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. Until then, give me a binary high five, Craig.
All right, 101.